How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 149 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, and leave a review once you're on that page also. Find us on audioboom.com and log on to normantranscript.com to check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can see all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday, except this week's going to be a little different. I said this on Friday's episode as well. So now that the All-Star game is over, a couple days off with the Thunder don't play again until Friday. Trade deadline is Thursday. So gonna take a couple days off after this podcast. I'm actually taking off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So no writing for me. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, which means Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday's paper. If you happen to subscribe to the Norman Transcript, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday online, not going to do podcasts for Tuesday morning or for Wednesday morning. I'll have a podcast for Thursday morning because I got to have something, obviously. That's the day of the trade deadline. So I'll have something that morning. If Sam Presti makes some kind of trade that we don't know, then I will be back because that's what happens. You're never truly on vacation in this job. If, say, you know, breaking news happens or something like that, then I'll be writing and I'll, at the very least, put up a short podcast depending on, you know, how big the deal might be or something like that, because we got like 96 hours until the trade deadline. So obviously I'm going to be well aware of those circumstances and on my phone and following that super closely, even if I'm not writing and podcasting for a couple of days. All-Star game's over. West won 192-182, but nobody cares. Russell Westbrook had 41 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. He had 26 field goal attempts in 20 minutes played, which was hilarious to watch. Scoring record was 42 by Wilt Chamberlain coming into the game for the All-Star game. So Westbrook came 1 point short. Anthony Davis beat it by 10. He had 52 points, first guy to go for 50 ever in an All-Star game. 52 points, 10 rebounds for Davis. He won game MVP. Kevin Durant had 21 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists. Let's just get straight to some Twitter questions. I got an early flight tomorrow morning, so I don't think I'm going to go too long on this one, but I'll get some Twitter questions in. First one is from Dave Abbott. On a scale of 1 to 100, how annoyed do you think Westbrook has been all weekend with these KD questions? Not going to give it a 100, because I think peak Russ is probably something we didn't see this weekend. He at least addressed it with some amount of humor with the fashion questions and the family answers and all that kind of stuff. In case you haven't been following, like on Saturday at media availability for All-Stars, or Friday at media availability for All-Stars, Russell Westbrook was asked a bunch of questions about Kevin Durant, predictably. And pretty much every single time somebody asked him a question, he answered it as if someone were asking him a question about Fashion Week. So someone would ask him, you know, is it going to be awkward with you in the same locker room as Kevin Durant? And Russell Westbrook would respond seamlessly, really without hesitation. You know, yeah, man, I'm really excited for Fashion Week. Blah, 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 something about Fashion Week. He is making us create new ways to try to cover him. I'll tell you that much. I don't think he's a 100, but I'm going to give him like a 92. He was super annoyed because he cracked at Ramona Shelburne a little bit when Ramona was pushing on those KD questions. And that was the one time he kind of broke character and stopped with the Fashion Week bit. I honestly don't blame him for being annoyed. Obviously, Russell goes about it in his Russell Westbrook type way, which is a way that no one else would do it. I mean, I think Kevin Durant is annoyed by him too. But Kevin obviously goes about it in a very different way than Russell does, in a more conventionally annoyed person way. Russell goes about it in the way that Russell gets annoyed and does things that he would, and, you know, says things that he would say and does things that he would do, and that probably nobody else that I've ever met would do. The fashion bit was honestly kind of funny. At first I was like, look, it always annoys me as a journalist when someone just like does that. Not because, like, you need your cliche answer. Because I hate the cliche answers. I do hate the cliche answers. They're boring and, like, honestly, often I don't want to use them and I try not to use them. And there are people who want me to put those quotes in, so sometimes I have to. But sometimes I'd rather write without quotes. If I only have cliche quotes, sometimes I feel like I'd rather write without quotes because I feel like they don't add anything. So it's not that. It's just kind of a respect thing, you know? And he doesn't have to respect people he doesn't know, but there are a lot of people in that scrum who he knows and who he has the opportunity to have a relationship with if he wants to. And, you know, it's just a respect thing. It doesn't upset me or anything like that. It's just, you know, I was actually, by the end of it, a little happy about it just because it allowed me to get kind of creative with my story for the day and all that stuff. But on a scale of 1 to 100, I'll give him a 92 because I think he can get a little bit more, but I think we're done with the questions. I'm excited. I haven't asked a Durant question in a long while. I mean, you know, obviously you ask him heading up to and after the Warriors game because that's pertinent because they're playing the Warriors. But I'm super tired of the storyline. I'm glad it's at least temporarily over until March 20th when they play again. And I'm excited not to talk about Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant for a little while. Even though they hooked up for an alley-oop in this game and everyone got really excited about it. Durant and Westbrook pretty predictably played it down. I don't know. It was an alley-oop. It was cool to see a Russell Westbrook, Kevin Durant alley-oop. Not from an emotional standpoint. Just from like a, hey, remember when those guys were really, really good together standpoint? That was cool to see. Just watching them on a basketball court together again. Next one is from Nick Butler. This one was sent in. So DeMarcus Cousins was traded, or reportedly traded. I'm recording this late Sunday night, or actually early Monday morning, technically. DeMarcus Cousins was traded, reportedly, according to a million different outlets, to the Pelicans in a deal that many people do not love for the Kings. Shocking, I know. So the trade would be, according to Mark Stein at ESPN, the trade would be Buddy Hield, Tyreke Evans, Langston Galloway, a future first and second rouner to Sacramento for DeMarcus Cousins, and Omri Caspi is also in that deal. I forget who reported that. I think it was The Vertical. Reported that Omri Caspi was also involved in that deal going from Sacramento to the Pelicans. That was sent in a little bit before when all of the all of the Cousins mania was going on. There was about an hour, maybe 2 hours leading up to the deal where there were a ton of reports about Cousins being on the block and where's he going to go and what's going to happen. And then Cousins got dealt. And then Woj dropped the Woj bomb that Cousins was dealt to the Pelicans. So what did the Thunder have to do with this? So I'll insert in past tense now. Was Sam Presti trying to get Boogie Cousins? I've gotten no indication that the Thunder were at all involved in Boogie Cousins. An executive told me tonight that his raw, and this is an executive who knows what he's talking about. We were talking about this trade because nobody seemed to seize that trade, that return that they got for Cousins, you know, one of the most talented big men in the entire league. No one sees the return that they got for Cousins and thinks, oh my gosh, what a great deal for Sacramento. What a great haul they got. They actually got equal value or anything close. No one thinks they got even close to equal value for Cousins. But an executive said to me, he estimated that more than half of the teams in the league don't want to touch Cousins because of his reputation and because of his attitude and all the off-the-court stuff. That more than half the teams in the league, he estimated, don't want to touch him. That seemed a little bit extreme to me. But I think just taking that with a grain of salt, you know, that hurts the market, even if it's 10 teams, 8 teams. That hurts the market. I think the Thunder, it would not surprise me by any means to find out the Thunder are one of those teams. I don't know definitively that they are, but knowing what I know about the Thunder, it would not surprise me at all if they were one of those teams. I don't think this is the type of organization that wants to bring in a guy with his sort of off-the-court history. And it's not just the technical fouls, it's the locker room stuff, it's his reputation with teammates. You know, a lot of, not every teammate, there's some teammates he gets along with, but a lot of teammates, a lot of former teammates especially don't speak incredibly highly of him. We all know this. This is not breaking news. This is not shocking stuff. So I just don't think that he's the type of guy who the Thunder would want to bring in. They talk about creating this Spursy type of atmosphere. And no one is the Spurs. I mean, no one creates the Spurs type atmosphere. You know, the Warriors have an incredible organization, but they've done it in a different way than the Spurs. They've created a different kind of atmosphere. No one perfectly mimics the Spurs. I think the Thunder want to create that Spurs-type atmosphere. I don't think bringing in DeMarcus Cousins is a move that would be consistent with that. Obviously now, there's a 0% chance of it happening. Cousins is going to New Orleans. But I think that's why you haven't heard the Thunder in those moves, why you haven't heard a peep about the Thunder, why I haven't heard a peep about the Thunder, why no one has mentioned the Thunder to me in any of these talks when I talk to people who know what's going on. So I think that's probably why you're going to see that stuff. Next up, from Glazed and Consumed, chances of winning every game until the Spurs game. The Jazz are the only team over 500, and that's in OKC. Maybe they can then even beat the Spurs. So, I'm going to read off the schedule, because the Spurs game that Glazed and Consumed is referring to is on March 9th. Here are the games leading up to March 9th. The Thunder are home for the Lakers. That's on February 24th. That's their next game. That's this upcoming Friday. They're home for the Lakers. Then they're home for the Pelicans 2 days later. Then they're home for the Jazz. Then they're at Portland. They're at Phoenix on the second night of a back-to-back. They're at Dallas. They're home for Portland. And then they're home for San Antonio. That's the March 9th game. Home for Lakers should be a win. Home for Pelicans is a heck of an interesting game now, isn't it? That's Sunday, February 26th. You're going to have DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis coming to town. That's an interesting game all of a sudden. Probably wasn't before. I don't know what that's going to end up being. But let's call it a Pelicans win. The rejuvenated Cousins is there. Let's say the Thunder drop that one. Home for the Jazz. I'm not convinced the Thunder win that game. Utah's playing really well. I know the Thunder already won in Utah. They played really well. That's one of the best games they've played all year. I think Utah could end up winning that game. They already lost at Portland. They can win at Portland. They can win at Portland. They probably should win at Portland, considering Portland's defense. But like the Thunder are not a team that's just going to roll over anyone. I'll give them a win in Portland. But remember, they got killed in Portland earlier this year. They lost by 19, 20 points. At Phoenix, second night of a back-to-back could absolutely be a loss. Phoenix is an underrated transition team. The Thunder have a good transition defense, but Phoenix is an underrated transition team. They're great at forcing turnovers. They're great at getting on the break. I think they lead the league in pace right now. They're a really good transition team. They're not a great team by any means. They're not even a good team. But I think there are parts of that team that could hurt. That could hurt the Thunder. I could see them dropping it. Next to Dallas, they should win that game. Home for Portland. And then there's San Antonio. They should win home for Portland. But I could see them dropping like three of those games. So I think they're going to win all of them until San Antonio? No. I'd be pretty surprised if they won home for the Jazz at Portland, second night of a back-to-back at Phoenix, another road game at Dallas. I would be surprised if they won every one of those. I don't think that's going to happen. No, over 500 over that stretch. Yeah, they should be over 500 over that stretch. They're 32-25. They should be, but not that. Not that. Remember, I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday, except, of course, this week. Remember, that's changing up, so there are going to be no shows on Tuesday and Wednesday this week. I'll be back on Thursday, and as for my writing, I'm going to be off Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for the online, and Tuesday, Thursday, Friday for print. You can head on to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder. Questions, comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. And log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. Check out my blog while you're there, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can see all my Thunder coverage there. That's going to do it for today. I'll be back with you on Thursday. Until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.